From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Building or repurposing a new hospital, hospice, or nursing home in Florida currently requires approval from the state. But a bill before the House and Senate this legislative session would eliminate that approval process. It's called a Certificate of Need, and Florida is looking to join 14 other states who have gotten rid of the requirement. We'll look at why it exists and what the arguments are for and against it. Plus, the 2017 Florida legislative session starts today, and activists are gathering at rallies in towns all over Florida, including Fort Myers, under the banner of Awake the State. They're making their demands on lawmakers in Tallahassee known, but what are the priorities for Southwest Florida? Ahead, we'll talk with some of the speakers at tonight's rally about education, the environment, and more. And we'll talk with a local Republican leader about what they want to see happen in Tallahassee. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Rallies are happening around Florida tonight calling on lawmakers in Tallahassee to focus on a list of priorities ranging from education to the environment. The rallies are part of the 2017 Awake the State movement. And in the second half of our show today, we'll talk with speakers at that rally tonight in Fort Myers and a local Republican leader about what priorities they're focused on for Southwest Florida. But first, one of the bills lawmakers will grapple with this session is the Certificates of Need bill, which would revise and delete some current health facility licensing requirements. Right now, if someone wants to build or repurpose a hospital, hospice, or nursing home, they have to obtain a certificate of need from the state. It's a process that was initiated back in the 1970s at the federal level, and so far, 14 states have chosen to drop that requirement. Today on the show, we're talking with reporter Julio Ochoa, who has covered the certificate of need debate and can give us some background on its purpose and how other states have done with their repeals. Thanks for joining us, Julio.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined in studio by Jason Roa from Avow Hospice in Naples. He can give us some perspective on how this legislation might affect end-of-life care. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also, Bruce Rubin, who is the president of Florida Hospital Association, can talk with us about what healthcare facilities have to do to acquire a certificate of need and whether it creates an impediment to access to care. Thank you for joining us, Bruce.
Thank you.
We are talking about state regulation, which determines the number and placement of hospitals, hospice facilities, and nursing care centers throughout the state, and the potential impact if that is deregulated. Share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Julio Ochoa, I would like for you to begin by just giving us some background. What does a certificate of need mean? What is a certificate of need, and why does it exist?
Well, if you want to open a new hospital in the state of Florida, you need to go through the state process that regulates how many hospitals can open or whether there is actually a need. So they make the hospital or the agency who's trying to open a new facility demonstrate that there's actually a need for that facility in the area where they want to open it. And that's basically what it does.
So why does the government, why does the state government then want to legislate that? Is there a reason for that?
Well, there's some who say that these are very restrictive for hospitals and they can, you know, stop competition from happening. Those who want to open up the process or do away with certificate of need regulations think that competition would be a good thing to bring down the price of health care in the state and improve overall quality of care. When a hospital is focused on the consumer, then the quality of care goes up, they argue.
And then what are the arguments for keeping the certificate of need in place?
Well, there's several, actually, but mainly, if you can think about some highly specialized procedures that hospitals do, and to be able to do these procedures, you have to be good at these procedures, you have to do enough of them. So there's the theory that the more you do, the better you are. And if you then start to spread these procedures out to more and more hospitals, start to open up more hospitals, then some of the healthcare teams at these hospitals will be doing fewer procedures. Some of these specialized procedures, maybe a heart transplant procedure or something like that. So they'd be doing fewer of these procedures, and they wouldn't be as good at doing it. That's one of the arguments for certificate of need. There's also other arguments as well.
Well, there are a number of arguments, I think, that are on both sides. And the lawmakers that are talking about repealing this bill, has this been something they've been wanting to do for a while?
Yes, actually. I mean, this isn't the first time this has come up. It came up last year as well, and it failed to get support in the Senate.
By a lot or a small margin?
I don't even think it came up for a vote. I think that they
lost in committee.
Died in committee.
Well, Jason Rolla with Avow Hospice in Naples, how would a repeal of a certificate of need impact hospice care?
We feel that it would have an extremely negative impact on hospice care, specifically in Southwest Florida and Collier County. And primarily because the difference between hospice and some other providers are you don't have to have brick and mortar to open up a hospice facility because, quite frankly, the majority of our care takes place in a patient's home or wherever they reside. So there isn't really any capital barrier to entry. And so that's the thing that we've tried to explain to lawmakers, that for hospice it would have a drastic impact in terms of perhaps as many as over 1,200 hospices entering the Florida market, including Southwest Florida, fairly quickly if CON was repealed. And, you know, the issue that we continue to face is the argument in terms of free market. And hospice does not operate in a free market. We actually have a fixed per diem reimbursement that's set by the government. So regardless of the amount of hospices, the actual cost to the government and the taxpayers would not change, again, because of that per diem.
So you're thinking that if this does go through and the certificate of need is no longer necessary, then without establishing a need – it's your feeling or your organization's feeling that there will be a lot of people setting up a hospice organization because the amount of capital required is not that great.
Absolutely.
So that's your position. Okay. And Bruce Rubin in the Senate, I would like to get your opinion on this. You're with the Florida Hospital Association. What is their position on it?
Well, our position is that as long as there are that people are not fully insured here in the state of Florida. We have nearly 2 million people uninsured, and we have many, many, many low-income folks in the state of Florida. Over 4 million people are covered through the Medicaid program, which is a partnership between the federal government and the state government to pay for health care for the low-income children and the disabled. As long as that is the case, we need to be sure that there's access to hospital services for both those who are low income, those who are affluent, and everybody in between. And the purpose of the Certificate of Need program is to do just that. It's to ensure access to care across the entire state and for the whole population of Florida. So it is there to ensure access. And in order to ensure access, you have to be able to determine where a need exists. And in particular, in low-income areas, you have to make sure that the hospital is able to survive by making sure that it has enough of a service area that it can deliver those services and still be able to at least break even in terms of its budget. Because hospital services, the more specialized a hospital service is, the fewer the number of patients are likely to need it at any given time, but it's usually very expensive and highly specialized. So a hospital can't possibly charge enough to cover the cost of some of the most sophisticated services. So they have to earn a surplus on some of the other services to help pay for the cost of these very highly expensive and critical services. That's called cross-subsidization. And what a certificate of need allows for is to make sure there's enough of a service area to allow that to occur.
Well, in the Senate, there are lawmakers that are on the pro side that are wanting to repeal the certificate of need. They're saying that there is a shortage of health care options for people in more rural areas, sometimes requiring a 25 to 30 minute drive. So what I'm wondering is if the purpose of this is to have access, but then there still isn't access, where's the fall down there?
Well, that really doesn't make any sense, because nobody is going to build a new hospital where there aren't many people.
Well, that would be bad business.
Yes. So that is not a reason to repeal the certificate of need laws, because that will only exacerbate that problem. What happens when there's no certificate of need is that you have a proliferation of services in affluent communities, and you have a lack of access in lower income communities. So you really have a distorted placement of services, or around a state. So it is as long, if everybody had insurance, we wouldn't have to. This wouldn't be as much of a problem. But because there is a big difference between the service area of a hospital that serves a high proportion of low-income people or elderly people who are covered by the other government program, Medicare, and hospitals that are in affluent areas that have a large number of patients who have good health insurance, as long as that is the case, you have to have a needs assessment to make sure that the hospitals that are serving in these lower income areas or low population areas have enough of a service area to be able to survive, to deliver those services. If you don't do that, then you have a real distortion in access.
So I just want to summarize real quickly, the certificate of need, what you're saying is that that is in place, and because of that, the state is able to make sure that there are hospitals that are in places that do not have where people don't have insurance, or where there's a less likelihood of people being able to pay, really. I mean, like low income areas, this kind of ensures that the state kind of can make sure that these hospitals are placed in those areas.
This makes sure that that those hospitals that are either already there or that are going to serve that type of an area are going to have enough of a service area to be able to continue to provide a full continuum of services, to provide the full array of services that are needed. Because some of these services, as I said, are very sophisticated, highly specialized services. They don't treat a high volume of patients, but they're absolutely critical for a community to have access to the full continuum of care. So that's what the Certificate of Need program is intended to do. It was always intended to ensure access.
Okay.
It still does that for hospitals.
I need to read some breaking news that just came into our newsroom, unrelated to what we're talking about right now, but definitely important to get out there. The Florida Forestry Service is ordering a mandatory evacuation notice for some Naples area communities due to the growing wildfire threat down there. The evacuation notice is for the Naples Club RV Park, the Panther Walk RV Park, the entire Forest Glen community, and the horse stables in and along Newman Road. This is a mandatory evacuation. It will be enforced until midnight tonight. A reception center will be opened at the Golden Gate Community Center. Please stay tuned to WGCU News for updates throughout the day and during All Things Considered, starting this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And any further updates we get during our area, our hour on the air, we will definitely pass along. So just want to reiterate, the Florida Forestry Service is ordering a mandatory evacuation notice for some Naples area communities because of the growing wildfire threat there. The evacuation notice is for the Naples Club RV Park, the Panther Walk RV Park, the entire Forest Glen community, and the horse stables in and along Newman Road. This is mandatory. It will be enforced until midnight tonight. And back to the subject of our show, we're talking about the potential repeal of a law that gives the state the final say when and where a new or repurposed hospital, hospice facility, or nursing home can open. It's called the Certificate of Need, and lawmakers are looking at whether or not to scrap the 70s-era legislation. Our guests are Bruce Rubin with the Florida Hospital Association, Jason Roa with Avow Hospice in Naples, and reporter Julio Ochoa, who has been covering this issue in Tallahassee. You can become part of the conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Julio Ochoa, I wanted to get back to you. In your research as a reporter on this issue, you've looked at other states in which they have repealed this kind of legislation. Do you know how that has worked out for any of them?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. there are 14, as you said earlier, 14 states that have repealed it. And those states definitely are still serving their lower-income people. We haven't found that there's been a drop-off or closing of hospitals in those states. The research has found, however, that for some procedures, the outcomes are better in states with certificate of need. And those are some of these highly specialized procedures, like the heart transplant or heart surgery procedures. The mortality rate is lower in states with certificate of need.
That's an interesting angle on this, too. And I wanted to ask Bruce real quick again, what exactly does a hospital have to prove in order to require to acquire a certificate of need?
Well, it's based on it's population-based. There has to be enough of a population to serve, to sustain the hospital. You know, depending on the mix of services would depend on what formula is used, but that's basically what it is.
Well, and that leads me to another question, because here in Southwest Florida, the difference in population in February versus August is pretty stark. We're a very severely seasonal place down here. So when establishing a need, is that hard to do in areas where the population fluctuates so much?
Well, they can take that into account, you know, looking at the population over time and across the season.
So with the year-round population growing every year in Southwest Florida, is it possible for hospitals to keep up with demand if they're looking to prove that there's a need?
Well, sure, it's possible for the hospitals to keep up with demand. And at a point where a community can demonstrate that there is a need for a new hospital, they can certainly apply for a certificate of need. Very few applications for new hospitals have been turned down in recent years. So usually, you know, building a new hospital is a very significant and expensive investment for a community. And so people don't just build hospitals just because they can. But if you have a very affluent area where it can sustain, you know, a proliferation of services, you'll get that if you remove certificate of need. The program only applies to a very few services any longer in Florida, and these are, you know, new hospital beds, it's new neonatal intensive care beds, pediatric open heart services, organ transplants, bone marrow transplants. It's those types of very sophisticated services that it applies to. So it isn't a wide-ranging program the way it is in some states.
Oh, so we're not talking about the urgent care place down the street?
No, we're not talking about anything like that. No outpatient services.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there this argument that that competition somehow can lower health care costs is really also a deeply flawed argument. Health care is the one segment of the economy that can create its own demand. So remember, as long as there's fee-for-service medicine, as long as providers only get paid if they do something, there's a great incentive to do something. And people, you and I, don't really know when it's necessary to go into a hospital. Our doctor is the one who usually tells us that that's what's necessary, unless it's a real emergency.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that free market works when there's two people involved in a transaction, one who wants or demands the service and can pay for it, and one who provides the service. But in healthcare, it's really a three-person transaction. It's the person who needs the service is one, the person who provides the service is the other, and the third one is the person who pays for the service, and that's usually the insurance company. Although that's obviously not the case for about 2 million people in Florida.
Yeah, and with that absence, that creates, as you say, like you're saying, that creates the need for making sure that low-income people are being served.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in this state, we have so many elderly and low-income citizens that the majority of patients in any given hospital are covered through either Medicare, the program for the elderly, or Medicaid, the program that provides health care for children, low-income children and pregnant women and the disabled. So some hospitals have over 70% of their patients covered through those two programs, and their rates are set by the government. It is not a free market environment, and adding competition, as I tried to explain earlier, usually just drives up cost. It drives up volume and therefore drives up cost, because you now have to support more infrastructure, more technology, more providers, and it doesn't have the effect of lowering cost.
We have a call coming in from William in Cape Coral. William, what would you like to say?
First of all, thank you for my call, and I really appreciate everybody's point of view, and sorry if I missed something that this might actually be repeating on. I can make a valid argument for both sides, and being intimately involved with a prior employer of a mental health facility that was really needed in between Tampa and Miami, but was argued, and actually we went through the very long, litigious certificate of need process, because it really was needed, and you could, like I said, an argument for both sides. My concern is, during the process, I was so blatantly the potential for corruption to squash and or postpone and kind of manipulate the system on the certificate of need in order to benefit maybe one group. And that's where my real concern. I see their point saying, you know, we really need to service. They pull out of one area, and then everybody's got to drive 100 miles to a richer area to get service. But to get to that point, my concern is the corruption and the hands in people's pockets to get to that certificate of need. And it seems the wealthy are always going to steer that towards one area over another. So that's just my comment. Thank you so much. I'll take my off the air.
All right. Thank you, William, for your comments. Bruce or Jason, any comment on that? I mean, it's kind of an allegation of possibility of corruption when going through this kind of a process. I guess putting some of the power in state hands.
I can't speak to any individual processors or any individual circumstance, but I can say in general that certificate of need processes, you know, in Florida have been streamlined, and we certainly can continue to look at streamlining them. In terms of defining the service areas, in terms of the length of the process, the appeal process, there are all kinds of different ways to look at this to see if it can't be streamlined. So there's nothing wrong with that, but the idea of just eliminating a needs-based methodology is going to have an adverse impact on both quality and cost.
And I would say, based on my career, I've been involved with a number of CONs, probably close to a dozen. And in all of those cases, at least from the hospice perspective, it was completely objective. And I think, to the caller's point, although I can understand what he was saying, I could tell you, having worked exclusively for not-for-profit hospice providers, that there was no evidence of that. And the not-for-profits or even for-profit hospices all had an equal stake. And to Bruce's point, really what the program does is ensure that utilization is met across all the counties of Florida, and specific for hospice. And so, having said that, that's what the CON process does for hospice. The whole point of it is to pick out the best candidate who's going to ensure that the needs of the patient are met, no matter where they live in the community or no matter what their socioeconomic status is. And so I think we see that in Southwest Florida with the variance of people depending upon what their economic situation is. And we even see it in Naples and Collier County. But what CON does is make sure that those vulnerable populations are taken care of. And if they're not, then a certificate of need can be filed specifically for those individual constituents in order for them to be served. And so, again, the process is built in such a way that the utilization is there. And if it isn't, then a new CON will be granted. So essentially, at least from a hospice perspective, what these bills are doing are trying to fix something that's not broken. It's a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah. And Julio, have you seen anything along these lines as far as this being considered too bureaucratic or too burdensome? Is that one of the arguments that you're hearing maybe up in Tallahassee?
Well, I'm in Tampa, so I can't speak to Tallahassee, but you know, I have seen, I will just say this, like if you have a hospital chain in one county and it kind of dominates that county, it may be harder for another hospital to break into that market. So, and if they did break into the, or they did try, if they filed an application through the Certificate of Need process, there would be a chance for others in that market to comment on that application. And, you know, that hospital chain may have lobbyists, or they may, you know, they may direct, you know, their opinions towards one way or the other. So you could see how it might be hard for another provider to break into a place that only has one hospital chain in a county.
And I wanted to ask both Jason and Bruce, and I'll start with Jason in the studio here. Do you think, is there currently enough hospice care available for the number of residents, part-time or otherwise, in our area?
Yes. And again, the reason for that is specifically because of CON. And so based on the actual statistics in the hospice case, based on population as well as deaths, the formula will identify if we weren't meeting the need, both in Lee or Collier County. And so based upon that, we know that the need is being met. Across the state in all 67 counties, and specifically here in Southwest Florida, we have some of the highest utilization and penetration rates of anywhere in the country because CON does work in the model that we have here in Florida specific to hospice. And you know, to the point about the bureaucracy that you just made, what people don't seem to understand is the CON office is a very small office, to Bruce's earlier point, compared to the way it was 20 years ago. And so just if hospice CON was eliminated, the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which licenses and regulates all of the healthcare entities in Florida, estimates that the cost to taxpayers and an increased size of government would be about $1.2 million a year just to regulate all of the new hospice entrants into the state of Florida. And so I think it would be added bureaucracy if they eliminated it just for hospice, and that doesn't include nursing homes or hospitals.
So it would increase bureaucracy by eliminating this type of a limiting?
It absolutely would. And so conservatively, let's say we have 700 new hospices who come into the market within 6 months, a year, 2 years from the time that it's eliminated. To Bruce's point, there'd be massive proliferation. Well, all of those new hospices need to be regulated. They need to be licensed, and they have to have surveyors who can go out if a family has a concern or a complaint. And so that takes staff, which would all be state employees. And so, again, the state agency's own numbers are just for the elimination of hospice CON would be about $1.2 million a year. That would be the burden on taxpayers.
So when this need becomes apparent, this becomes apparent to the state or to hospice officials, I mean, people that work in hospice?
So twice a year, the State Agency for Healthcare Administration will put out a need report basically for hospice programs. They also have them for hospices, nursing homes, and such. And for hospices specifically, based on that formula, if there is a need, it shows up. And then at that point in time, applicants are welcome to apply. And it doesn't have to just be an existing provider in Florida. It's anybody who could apply for it. And then they go through the process. And based upon whoever presents the best case and is the best provider, it's granted to that provider. And so, again, if the utilization slips below a certain level, there's the safeguard there that the need gets triggered.
Okay. And does the need ever shrink to the point where something gets closed down?
It does not.
Yeah, it's always growing. Well, our population is growing so
yes,
much. Yeah.
Yes.
And Bruce, I wanted to ask you the same question. I mean, similarly, do you believe that there is enough health care available for the number of residents, part-time and otherwise, in the state?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, these needs are always evolving, but at this point, there's no critical need for a bunch of new hospitals. I can't speak to an individual community. There may be places within Florida that are growing so quickly right now that they could use a new hospital. But in general, I think that the problem with healthcare cost, access, and quality is not the Certificate of Need process. To say that repealing Certificate of Need is tinkering around the edges is a dramatic understatement. What we need to improve cost, access, and quality in healthcare is to get people health insurance coverage first and foremost, and then to make healthcare affordable and more effective through payment reform. But this idea of certificate of need is really, really much to do about a very little.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your comments, and I want to thank you all for being part of our show today. We have just run out of time. This is one of those issues that sounds so far removed from everyday life, but it really does have an impact on people. So I appreciate you taking the time to sort it all out for us. Thank you, Julio Ochoa with WUSF in Tampa. Thanks to Bruce Rubin with the Florida Hospital Association and Jason Roa with Avow Hospice in Naples. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
Hey, good afternoon.
Coming up, a rally tonight in Fort Myers will mimic rallies across the state where speakers will talk about their concerns as the Florida State Legislature begins its session. We'll talk with speakers at the rally and local political leaders about what they want to see happen at the Capitol this year. We'll be right back.